I have a good friend. Some of you know him. His name's Mike. And Mike, years ago, was in the US Navy. And one of his ships, one of the ships that he sailed on was a supply ship. It was this massive fuel tanker, this huge ship. And he tells stories of going through these enormous storms of waves coming over the bow of this massive ship. And their role was to supply the American fleet. The American fleet would go out of port and be out for months at a time. And the way they were enabled to keep going was through these supply ships. And they were really dangerous places. So the supply ship would come alongside one of these ginormous aircraft carriers, and they would shoot over a line over onto the ship, and the ship would need to catch it. Then they would pull across, you know, the cables for the fuel, and then they would refuel the ships. They would keep them going at sea for months at a time. Well, in a similar way, I want to suggest to you this morning that we, as followers of Jesus, need the likes of a supply ship, a refueling ship. We need that sort of activity of a ship coming alongside of us as we journey across the sea, if I can take the metaphor way too far, journey across the sea in our journey with Jesus. And it's interesting to think about this and explore this even a little further. We're studying in the book of Thessalonians, and so if you have your phone or your tablet or your Bible, let's open them together to 1 Thessalonians. It's good to look at the scriptures yourself while we study them together. Because it's interesting as you look at this church in Thessalonica that the Apostle Paul is writing to in the first century, about 51 AD. This is a church which seemingly, when you look at it, didn't need anything. This was a church that was fully stocked. Fully stocked. It was a church full of faith. I mean, notice, for example, chapter 1, verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of chapter 1. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I mean, as you read these sorts of testimonies of this church, it warms your heart. This is an amazing church. This is a great church. This is a church I want to be part of. This is a church that is full of faith. It's characterized by people who are following Jesus. They're rock solid in Jesus. That they have believed the gospel message. They have encountered God. Theirs was, as we reminded ourselves last week, theirs was no words only kind of belief. In the face of incredible persecution, that they're putting their lives on the line. They are standing firm in the Lord. Yes, they have a powerful testimony as followers of Jesus. We would describe them as being full of faith. And isn't that what lies at the heart of Christianity? Faith in Jesus. I'm lost. As Romans 1 tells us, that knowing God is by faith from first to last. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But these people are full of faith. But what's interesting for us to consider this morning is what the Apostle Paul says next, where he goes with this. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. In some way, these people who were full of faith were lacking in faith. For all they had in place, they still had a need. In some way, they were coming behind. That's the idea of this word lacking. And the language is interesting because it points us to an interesting reality in the Christian life we all need to come to terms with, no matter who you are, no matter how long you have been on the road with Jesus. There is still room for more. The truth is, we will never get to the depths or the heights, the breadth, the width of who God is. We will always need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will always need to face our wrong thinking, our bad behavior, and unbelief. Understanding this puts us in an interesting place because it calls us to humility, to the reality that I haven't necessarily got it all together. I'm not necessarily the great Christian person that you think I am. There is no room for self-righteousness among the lacking. Friends, indeed, we are all in the same boat here. But can I suggest this is the very place God wants to draw us to? How does the Bible put it? God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. God gives grace to the person who knows their lack, who acknowledges their lack, who accepts their lack, but resists the proud who says, I've got it all together. It's only when we see our need that we cry out for help. And having identified their lack, the Apostle Paul wants to come to them and in some way make it right. He wants to do something. He wants to supply what is lacking in their faith. This is where the supply ship comes in place. Now, you understand this concept of supply all the time. You do it all the time. This is the preparation. The idea is of the preparation you do prior to any activity. Matthew in his gospel tells us that when Jesus came across James and John, they were preparing their nets. They were getting them ready. I've been doing over the last, few months, but probably a few years, I've been doing painting at our house and doing bits and pieces. And you know the frustrating thing about painting is the preparation. Preparation takes forever. You've got to get the paint. You've got to get the drop sheets. You've got to move all the stuff out of the way. And then in moving the stuff out of the way, you notice this mark on the wall. So you've got to fix the mark up on the wall. And then having fixed that mark up on the wall, then you notice that one over there needs to be fixed up. And it just goes on and on and on. It's a never-ending story. And finally, you get to the place where you've got your paint, you put your drop sheets down and you mix your paint up, and the painting takes 30 seconds compared to the preparation. This is what Paul's talking about here. I want to supply what is lacking. I want to do this preparation work. You cannot keep sailing unless the supply ship comes alongside of you and enables you to keep sailing. To be standing firm in the faith and yet to be lacking in faith is a reality for all of us as followers of Jesus. All of us need some supply work in our lives along the way. All of us are at some point are like the father who came to Jesus. I believe. Help my unbelief. We all know that reality. But what happens next here in Thessalonians is really helpful for us, because it gives us an insight into the nature of how this supply works. Paul prays. He simply prays. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. It's as if Paul is acknowledging, I know the reality of lack, and yes, you guys are great. You are full of faith, but yes, you're lacking in faith. And I want to supply that. And as he's thinking about that, it's as if he just naturally overflows and moves into praying for them. And it's interesting just to dwell on this prayer, because Paul is asking for God's intervention in their lives. Our God and Father, our Lord Jesus, the Lord, He's asking that God would do something in their lives, that God would clear the way, that God would make their love increase and overflow, that God would strengthen their hearts. Now, lest you think, oh yeah, that's just an interesting sort of idiosyncratic thing that Paul did just with the Thessalonians, can I just draw your attention to, for example, Ephesians, where Paul does exactly the same sort of thing. He's talking about the nature of the Christian life. He's painting this glorious picture of the God who supplies our lack, of who God is for us in our journey with Jesus. And on two occasions, he trips over out of explaining, painting picture, challenging, to praying that God would do it. For example, Ephesians 1, verse 17. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul has been painting this glorious picture of God, but it's as if he comes up to a brick wall and says, I can teach myself till I'm blue in the face, and it won't guarantee you get it. God, do something. You're the one who supplies. He does it again, chapter 2. Again, he's talking about what it means to be made alive in Christ. And who we are in Christ as one people in Christ. And then he picks it up in verse 14, chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is really important to grasp as a biblical principle, because the Christian journey is a journey that requires the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. From Paul's perspective, where our lack is supplied is from God himself. He is the one who is at work. He is the one we need. Yes, the Thessalonians needed a work of the Spirit in their lives. And maybe you do too. This morning, Paul prays specifically that the Holy Spirit would work in their lives in three areas. Now, it's important for us to note that these three areas are different to what he prayed for when he prayed for the Ephesians. I wonder what he would pray for us this morning if he was thinking about specific areas. But nevertheless, these three areas here in Thessalonians are worth considering, because they help us identify some potential areas in our lives where we might need some supply work being done. He prays for an encouraging fellowship. He's praying that God would clear the way for him to come and be with these people and stand alongside of them and encourage them. It reminds us of the fact that there are no individual Christians. Individualism is a child of the Enlightenment and is not biblical truth. We need one another. And what stops me from sharing my life with you? Pride. It's the only thing that stops us from giving ourselves to each other. I need your encouragement. The fact of the matter is, I need a work, just you getting alongside me, God's Spirit working in you. That's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are all about, isn't it? We need one another. We cannot do this on our own. And then secondly, there's an overflowing love. Paul commends these people for their love, but he's praying that God would continue to do that, that by his Spirit they would be overwhelmed by the love of God. And let's remember that when it comes down to the very core essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, it is to walk in the way of love. To love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. At the end of the day, we need to constantly be asking ourselves, man, was what I just said then, did it show love? Did it come from a place of love? Because if it didn't, I am lacking. I am lacking. I need a work of the Spirit in me. And thirdly, a biblical holiness. And I use that phrase biblical, it's a hard word to say. Biblical holiness intentionally. Holiness is about our person and our character and behavior. Some of you might have seen or read the joke on Facebook, and I think I can remember it. But it was this guy was driving down the road, and the light just turned orange, and he being a good citizen, he stopped. But the woman driving behind him, she was clear in her mind she would have gotten through. Only this clown in front of her stopped. So she thought, all she could do was share her thinking with this person. So she starts screaming obscenities, you know, into the air and doing bipping a horn and making all sorts of inappropriate gestures towards this guy. And in the midst of all that, there's a knock on her window. And she winds the window down to see a not happy policeman standing there, who says, "Madam, please get out of the car." She gets out of the car, he puts handcuffs on her, takes her off to the police station and throws her in a holding cell. Well, about an hour later, a policewoman comes, gets the woman out of the cell, brings her back to the officer who charged her, and he said, "Look, madam, I just want to apologise to you. When we saw the silver-plated Christian sticker on the back of your car and the Follow Me to Sunday School sticker," this is America, of course, "on the back of your car, we thought, obviously, you have stolen the car." Holiness matters. See, and we're going to take more time in the next couple of weeks to think more about this. But what we need to understand here is that holiness is a significant aspect of how we grow in Jesus. And what we need to grasp this morning is that holiness is primarily an activity of the heart. Did you notice how Paul prayed? Again, verse 13. "May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones." You see, holiness in the Bible is not like Greek Stoicism or Chinese Confucianism. It is not simply an issue of education. It's not simply about learning the rules and then disciplining yourself to obey them. Biblical holiness starts in the heart. It is from the inside out. Change the heart and you will change the person. And that's why Paul is praying like he is here. It is only the Holy Spirit who can give us a new heart and transform us. We need to explore these things in more detail. But here this morning, it's an interesting issue, isn't it? On the one hand, we can sit here confidently and boldly proclaiming, as we have done, as we've sung, that Jesus is Lord, that he's the conqueror, he's my Lord. We can share in communion together and say, "Yes, Jesus, I am fully confident that you have rescued me from sin." Yes, in doing that, we are declaring we believe. We are full of faith. And yet, be lacking in faith. And when the reality of that is our journey, and we need to come to other places as we look at Scripture, but where we find ourselves right now is, "Lord, I need a work of your Spirit in my life. I need you, Holy Spirit, to touch me." What's interesting with Thessalonians is that 2 Thessalonians, it is suggested, was written by Paul about 2-3 months after he wrote 1 Thessalonians. He obviously has received even more reports, and so he writes again to them. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more." That's what's going on here. That's who we need to be. People whose faith, whose confidence in Jesus, whose gripping hold of Jesus is growing more and more. Phil's going to come and lead us in a song. I'm going to pray. But if you would like us to be praying with you this morning, simply to pray and ask God to do something in your life, then just come, take a seat. We don't want to make a circus out of it. But we want to just respond to what the Word says here today. And let's encourage and pray for one another this morning. Father, we do thank you for your Word and that, Lord, it encourages us as followers of Jesus to face the reality of our lives, not to pretend, but to keep going. And I thank you, God, that you have made every provision for us in Christ Jesus. And yes, Lord, I do welcome your Holy Spirit in our midst. Sure, we know the reality that by the Spirit of God, we've been born again. We know the reality that we cannot believe in Christ apart from the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. These things are not up for grabs. But Lord, as we look at our lives so often, we know we need a work of your Spirit in us. And we welcome you to do that, to transform us, to grow us. For your glory, Father. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.